So far? Yeah, Julie. Microphone.
So, I'm trying to remember at what point you were speaking. I'm going to give some thought.
Where the question was.
Sure. Anybody else have any questions or comments or?
Yeah, wow.
Wow, yeah. There are two books, if you're interested in reading other people that have, I found these after the fact, after I started studying, and after I started teaching it, because the way I found out about the books was somebody in the audience told me about them. One is by Anna Roundtree. I can't remember the name of it, but you can't miss it. Anna Roundtree. And the other one is, what's the author of that other book? Anna Roundtree and, I'll think of it in a minute. Yeah, these two are both experiences about Sheol. Probably if you go on Amazon and put in Anna Roundtree, and a lot of times it has other books at the bottom. Mm-hmm. It'll probably pop up if I don't think of it. But two different people have had similar experiences where Yeshua took them into Sheol, and all that was. You were the one telling me about the books, Anna Roundtree's book, and who was the other author? That's it.
Regions of Captivity.
That's it. That one was really, really, really good. They're both really good. So, all right. I'm going to speed it up just a tiny bit here. I'm not on page 16, the difference between Sheol, hell, and lake of fire. I'm not going to go through that because I've already talked about it. And we will go down to captivity on page 17. Captivity means to take or lead captive. Yeshua descended to the lowest parts of the earth to set the captives free and to take back the keys of death and Hades. That's good. Thank you, Sally. It appears that Yeshua dealt with captivity first, then he gave gifts to men, Ephesians 4, 8 through 10, and Revelation 1, 18. One of the reasons Yeshua came to earth is to take our captivity captive, Luke 4, 18. This is Yeshua speaking. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." We are called as his priest to do the same thing. And Isaiah 58:6 talks about that. We're going to look at Isaiah 58:6 probably in greater detail later on, but this is Yahweh speaking. He says, "Is this not the fast that I choose? To release the bonds of injustice, to untie the ropes of the yoke, and to let the oppressed..." That word oppressed means to crack in pieces. It means those people who've been shattered. He says, "I'm going to let those people who've been shattered go free, and I'm going to tear every yoke to pieces." And that language is very familiar in relation to Sheol. All right, some reasons. These aren't all the reasons, but these are some of the reasons why people are taken into captivity. Number one, deception and philosophy. Colossians 2:8. See that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Philosophy is the love or pursuit of wisdom. Rebellion, number two, Psalm 107, verse 11 in Jonah 2:2. Number three, sickness can be a reason, like in my example of being taken to captivity. Fear, pain, physical, emotional, mental, caused by betrayal, death, rejection, abandonment, loss of a loved one, humiliation, shame, guilt, all of these things can be a reason Satan has a right to take somebody into captivity. Trauma, a broken heart. Now, there may be a memory attached to this broken heart that needs to be healed before freedom can come, especially if somebody has a broken heart and they blame or they point their finger at. You know, Satan is a legalist, and he follows, he has to. So if we give him a legal right to oppress us and take us into captivity, he won't miss an opportunity to do so. Number eight, generational sins. Number nine, ungodly or broken covenants. Phobias, sin, any sin, and addictions, whether it's to food, substances, entertainment, shopping, gambling, pornography, gaming, anything you habitually run to besides the Lord for comfort or to numb your pain. That little thing probably that's in front of you called the cell phone can absolutely be a reason that Satan takes part of your soul into captivity. Anything you turn to besides the Lord for comfort. We already read Colossians 2:8. Willful sin. We already talked about that one in Proverbs 9, talking about adultery and giving yourself to a harlot. Because of our rebellion, Yahweh can allow us to be taken into captivity in Sheol. Read Psalm 107, verses 10 through 22 to see that in Scripture. Sometimes Yahweh allows us to go into captivity in order to save our souls. Paul tells the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 5:1, it is actually reported that there is immorality among you, an immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. Verse 5, I've decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Yeshua. And 1 Timothy 1:20, among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've handed over to Satan so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. So Yahweh sometimes allows us to be under Satan's thumb to accomplish the salvation of our souls. 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. When we are being held captive by Satan, we do his will. Can the spirit of a believer be in Sheol? Your spirit, no. Your spirit is sealed at salvation, but parts of your soul can be in Sheol. Now, if you choose to no longer be a believer, your spirit, I believe, and soul is possessed, can be. If you give yourself to Satan, he will possess you. And then every part of you is in Sheol, spirit and soul. forever. Okay? We have the keys of the kingdom to open every prison door. That means we can command our soul to leave that place of captivity. I've had people in their God encounters where the Lord takes them into Sheol, and they see themselves there, and that part of them refuses to come out for different reasons. They believe they deserve it. They need to be punished. That's one big reason why part of them wouldn't leave. I deserve this. And so your spirit has the authority to command your soul to get up and get out of that place. That's your right. I can't do it, but you can do it. So if you find that the Lord takes you to Sheol to deliver you, and the part or parts, plural, that are in a prison cell and they refuse to get up and come out, and you can ask, you know, why they are choosing to stay, but you can speak to your soul and command your soul to get up, because you don't belong in darkness. You belong in the light. You serve Yeshua, and you don't want any part of Satan. And you can tell your soul that, and you can go pick your soul up, and you don't have to have your soul's permission to be delivered. This is a very hands-on deliverance session when the Lord takes you to Sheol. You can't be passive about this. Defeat and loss are the result of doing nothing. The belief that Yahweh will set you free without your participation simply because you are his child is deception. Yahweh desires partnership. And if our captivity is a result of sin, whether it's our sin or an ancestor's sin, we must confess that as sin. We must repent, turn our back on it, say we don't want any part of it, and then deliverance can come. The enemy fragments your soul and then imprisons that part of your soul. So as things happen in your life, especially when you're younger and you don't have the capacity to process it, the point of Satan attacking is to fragment your soul, to shatter your soul. Today, medical science calls that dissociation. It calls it multiple personality disorder. It calls it a number of things. But the Bible calls it shattering. And I personally believe when you dissociate because of trauma, if there's any legal right at all, Satan will be on that part of you. And that part of you can be in Sheol. And oftentimes when people see a part of them in a memory, that part of them that they're seeing in that memory is actually in Sheol. And they're stuck in the memory. They're stuck in that trauma. And so getting them out of that place in their where they've been traumatized. And the Lord frequently takes that part of them to paradise. It's pretty common. Or to a place where Yeshua's presence is very real. And that's where he heals them and integrates. Because that's the goal, is for that part of you that's in Sheol that's been separated to become one with you again. We call that integration. Because that's part of you. That's, you want to be a whole person. And so I've found that this is a very good shortcut to healing. You don't have to process all the trauma, all the pain. I know some people believe you do. I personally don't believe that. My experience in my own life tells me it's not necessary. And in the experience of many, many, many people I've worked with, it's not necessary. The Lord knows if it's necessary, and if it is, He will lead you to that traumatic memory. And sometimes He just leads you to it and tells you this is it, but doesn't make you go through it again, because so often we get re-traumatized, and the Lord doesn't do that. He doesn't do that to us. I've only seen a few examples where He did that, where He actually allowed somebody to see the result of their chosen sin and what it looked like in Sheol and the utter depravity of it. And He said to them, I want you to look at it because you need to know what that sin looks like. So there are a few times where that's happened, but generally that's not the case. I don't, as a facilitator, I don't encourage you to stay in Sheol and do the healing ministry in Sheol. Every example the Lord's given me is you get in, you get your soul, and you get out. You just do. That's how He does it. And after He takes that part of you out, He ministers to that part of you so that the two of you can be reunited. Yeah. You know, when you've got a part of you in Sheol, it's like having a bungee cord attached to yourself, to that part of your soul that's being tormented, because that's a place of torment. And Satan's speaking his will over your life down there and tempting and et cetera. And it's like when that's happening in Sheol, that tug is, you can feel that tug if you pay attention to sin, to this particular sin. If you have all of us have a propensity to certain sins. You know, what I struggle with may not be what you've struggled with. But when you identify what that is, then the next question you ask is, Lord, is there part of my soul that's in Sheol, in captivity? And if He says yes, then the next question is, Lord, I want to be free. What do I need to confess and turn from? Is it my sin? Is it my ancestors? You can do that before you ever go down, or you can do that after He brings you out. Just let Him lead. But and then here's the caution. You never, ever, ever, ever go to Sheol without the Lord telling you to go and without the Lord or one of His angels escorting you there. I had a young lady come here from Israel. She and her sister lived here for a while, and her sister had gotten incredibly transformed here. So when the younger sister came, she'd only been here a couple of days, and her sister had been telling her about all the captivity in Sheol. Well, this sister that 2 mornings later has a dear friend that's addicted to drugs, and in her prayer time, she decided she was going to go into Sheol and get her friend's soul out of prison. And she went down all on her own and got there. And she was met by these demonic guards. And they literally beat her. And she thought she wasn't going to get out. And she cried out for Yeshua to come. And He got her out. He brought her out and told her, go tell Rhonda what just happened. So she came over knocking on my door, sweat. I mean, she was just a mess. Spirit of fear all over her. And I said, oh, no. As soon as I saw her, I said, oh, no. What happened? What'd you do? And she shared. And I said, oh, that's illegal. You don't have the legal right to go down there. That's not your territory. You haven't been given authority over Sheol. Yeah. Yeshua has the keys. He's the one with the authority. And so we prayed. She repented, confessed her sin, repented, asked the Lord for mercy. And we got all the demons off of her that came with her. They came up with her out of Sheol and were all over her and trying to get in her. And so, and then she came back into her peace, place of peace. So you only go when Yeshua says yes, and he will either go with you or he'll assign an angel to go with you into that place where he has authority. And you know, when you go with him or an angel, I don't hardly ever see demons. It's like they clear the deck. You know, sometimes I'll see them if I'm going to see them, I see them in the prison itself, the cell. I've seen that, but not out in the hallway, not. I remember one time the Lord took me down on behalf of somebody else, and we came to this door, and there was this giant demon guarding the door, huge, and I saw it, because his light, when Yeshua's light hit it, I went, oh, no. Oh, that was my first response. Oh, no. Like, that thing was huge, and it was bigger than Yeshua. And so I did the wise thing, got behind Yeshua and hid.
That's right.
I was like, I am, whoa, hide me. And Yeshua chuckled, and he said, Rhonda, look again. And so I peeked out from behind him, and what was bigger, taller than the ceiling now was about this tall. And I went, oh, my goodness. He said, that's what they always do, Rhonda. They appear bigger than they really are, stronger, uglier, you know, more powerful. He said, that's what they always do, Rhonda. Like, okay, duly noted. So, I can't even stress the importance of that enough. You don't need to be afraid to go. I actually get excited now because I love, love, love seeing the enemy put in his place. Yeshua's foot on his head. And it's actually can be quite entertaining how the Lord interacts with these critters and how they respond. It helps you. It helped me not be afraid of that realm anymore, of demons and stuff. So, okay. There are two kingdoms, which you all know. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Yeshua. So you and I are seated with Christ in heavenly places while you're alive right now on this earth. And in the same way, you can be alive on this earth and have part of your soul seated in a prison cell in Sheol. You know, how I can't understand really what it means for me to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. I know it's true because he said it, but I can't feel it. I can't always see it. I can't touch it. I can't taste it, smell it, unless he allows me to. And the same is true for part of your person being in Sheol, not your spirit, but part of your soul. Your spirit is seated with Christ right now in heavenly places.
Yeah.
Right now. And then we bring our souls into those heavenly places in God encounters. Your mind, will, and emotions. You are allowing your soul to experience what your spirit's always experiencing. We're just not aware of it. And when looking at the clock. Do I have time? So, do I have time? When you accept Yeshua as your Savior, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit move inside of you. They take possession of you. You become their temple, right? We're the temple with wheels. We're a mobile home for Yahweh. And that's in your spirit. But your soul, your mind, will, and emotions is in the process of being possessed by Yahweh and Yeshua and the Holy Spirit. And that journey will continue until he returns and we're made brand new. And we even get a new body. Every part of our being is transformed. So the truth is, you are saved. Your spirit is saved. You are being saved. And that's happening in your soul. And you will be saved when he returns. Salvation, we've been taught and often believe that salvation is a one-time event. When were you saved? That's the question. But the truth is, that was the starting point. Every day of my life, I'm being saved, right? And I can choose at any point in my life to say no thank you. And everything will change. So this kingdom of light and darkness is at war. It's at war inside of us. Your soul wants soulish things. It wants worldly things. It wants the things you can touch and see and taste and smell and experience. Your spirit wants spiritual things. So you got a war going on, and the more you've surrendered your soul and the more you've allowed the Holy Spirit and Yeshua and Yahweh to take possession of your soul, the more your soul is like Christ. And it's a journey, and it's a process. And it's a pick up your cross daily, right? It's a deny yourself daily. It's a follow the Lamb daily. And this idea that it's a once and done is not accurate according to Scripture. That's the beginning. And you can change that at any point in your journey if you so choose. So the truth is, Satan never creates anything. We know that. He can't create. But what he does is he steals the principles of Yahweh and he perverts them in order to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. If he can't kill you, he's going to steal from you. And he's going to destroy whatever he can. He binds and looses his plans on and against you, which dramatically affects your soul and body and possibly your spirit if you allow it. If you allow your soul to give itself to that, you could be in danger of losing your spirit. Matthew 18:18 says, truly, Yeshua says, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you release on earth will be released in heaven. It's important that we tie, the word bind means to tie together to make two things one. So when we bind the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to our spirit, we become one with him. Now, I was taught that you bind demons and loose angels. And I believed that until I started studying binding and loosing and what the word means. And if you bind a demon, that means you tie that demon to yourself or to that person. That's what that word means. Uh-huh. And then loose is the Greek word luo, L-U-O. And It means to, sometimes I drop back in that file of how it used to be. Loose means to destroy, cast away, get rid of. So I used to loose angels. I don't want to cast away angels and destroy them. So now we bind ourselves to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I bind my spirit. My spirit's already bound to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'll say, Father, I thank you that my spirit is bound to you. And in the name of Yeshua, I bind my soul, my mind to the mind of Christ. I bind my will to my Father's will. And I bind my emotions to your heart, Yahweh. And I bind my body to excellent health. And then loose means to destroy. So in the name of Yeshua, I loose from me. And then I'll list the things that I want destroyed. All sin, all strongholds, all stronghold thinking, all stronghold patterns, all addictions, any and everything that I turn to for comfort or entertainment or pleasure other than the Lord, before the Lord. And I just loose those things. And I personally have learned to take those things that I've loosed and then take them and bind them, all those things that I've loosed, bind them to the cross, to Yeshua. And I say, I don't want you. I don't need you. You're not my friend. Don't ever come back in my life. Because I saw that. I saw the power of that in Sheol, where those demons were binding Satan's will for my life to kill me, to destroy me. Right, and they were loosing, and they were doing it the right way. They were doing it. The word bind means to tie together, and loose means to get rid of. They were loosing Yahweh's will and purpose for my life. I heard them with my ears, doing it. I said, "Is that legal? Yeshua, is that legal? Not anymore." So, we are to direct our prayers towards the destruction of the works of the devil to the very places where they originate. Now, I want you to mark out that Isaiah 42, 6, and 7. That's a misprint. That shouldn't be there. It's an error. Just because we're saved doesn't mean that our soul is still in captivity in areas. Doesn't mean that our soul is still not in captivity. You can be saved and have parts of your soul under sin. And I don't think I have to convince anybody in this room that that's true. For example, you may be saved, but there still may be an area of sin that holds you in bondage, such as fear, lying, jealousy, addictions, pride, shame, self-hatred, anger, bitterness, a critical spirit, judging, and the list goes